excuse you, interrupt the two.
Now stretch them quite as
soccer and the
quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
We're recording, yeah.
There you go.
Is my camera on? You can see me, right? Yeah. Well, that sunshine's lovely. Look at that.
Beautiful, eh?
Isn't that beautiful? There's some goodness in that. I can feel it.
Honestly, I've got my shorts back on. Shorts came out a few weeks ago, and I had to put them back away. I've never done that before. So now I'm back in my jorts. So yeah, for real, all day flip.
Yeah, you got your array of Havaianas out.
Well, this is the thing is, you've got to match the colour of my cap, and so obviously I've got the different colour caps to match the flips. But at the minute, I've already pulled out my black Havaianas and a pair of slides, so I'm good. As long as I stick to black, I'm all right.
Yeah, that's a classic T-shirt you're wearing as well.
Look at this.
Look at that.
Mate, this was... Can you remember which fight this was for?
Is that does it say president on it or prime minister?
I'm not telling you. Oh. But I suppose that's the only way you're going to find out, isn't it?
Was that Ludwig?
That was Ludwig, yeah. So this was
what helped me remember that is that you've got Sproul on your shoulder. And I always thought it was quite funny I was sponsored by Sproul because I had such shit takedown defense. Nice irony. Well,
this is a Wayne Kirk Fourth Dimension special. This is, dude. I did the artwork for the front, and this is when digital print was first coming about. So that was, 8 years ago? And so this is, because if you look, I don't know if you can see, like the quality, the red,
yeah,
is so bad. But it's been in my wardrobe. I've never worn it. I've literally never worn it. And a couple of people messaged me and were like, "Yo, what are you gonna wear? What are you gonna wear on the podcast?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And they were like, "Oh, we've been looking at the new stuff." And I'm thinking, "Oh fuck, I've started something I can't fucking keep up with." So
I tell you what. I saw somebody in the comments bitching about us wearing sunglasses. I've been wearing sunglasses all day, regardless of whether the fact I'm indoors, because I've got sunshine coming through from all different windows. It's lovely. Well, so that's why we're wearing sunglasses.
I did see that he called us a rude name.
Did he?
I'm not going to say who it is, because that just gives him the attention he wants, doesn't it?
Yeah. I actually took my sunglasses off before we started recording, man, didn't I?
Yeah, well, fuck that guy. Put them back on.
I'll put them back on.
Yeah, I'll leave.
Ones over there I'm spying as well. Although I have got this. Look at this. This is a lot of fun. Well, that's a bit close, isn't it, that?
Yo. It's like the evil eye of Gondor, isn't it? Or Mordor. Don't read mouth. Man.
Do I look like Wizard of Oz? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
From the original.
Dude. That would have been the credits, like the intro to some kid's cartoon back in the day. Someone would have just pulled out a magnifying glass and like, "Hold on, Dave. You fucking cracked it. What's that wizardry?" That's just a magnifying glass. Oh, dear. So, yeah, so these were bought. We made these, and Wad made a special trip, came all the way down. The banner was ready. All the T-shirts are ready. And he said, I'm going Vegas. I'm going to go Vegas, see Dan. And I was like, cool, cool. Gave him the T-shirts. He chucked them in his bag. And then he got the banner, and it was perfect. And he just folded it like a kid folding a tea towel. And honestly,
yeah.
I couldn't, because I didn't really know him. I knew him well enough that he was one of your close allies and friends and all the rest of it. And I'd spoke to him a couple of times. But bear in mind, at the time, I'm just sat there doing websites for people. So like, this was a job on the side that was something that I enjoyed doing, but I'd put so much time and effort into getting it perfect. And like, I'd rolled it up, looking at it, thinking, that's fucking sick. Can't wait to see that in the fucking event. Next minute, he's just like, just folds it up. And I was, it gave me instant acid reflux.
I'd have felt the same, man. I'd have felt the same. All my banners are rolled up. In fact, some of them are at the gym now on the wall, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to roll the banners. And if you're smart, if you're a veteran of cornering, you roll them from the bottom up Yes. So you put them over the top of the octagon, they drop. Well, I mean, it's old times now. We don't do it anymore in the UFC, do we? But I tell you what, though, that reminds me. That trip when Wad came to Vegas when I fought Ludwig was when we saw that UFO. Did we tell you about it?
Of course. Yeah, well, I was back. Bear in mind, when you told me that, I didn't put two and two together because, obviously, I was back here sulking about someone folding my banner for me. Where you and Wad are living the dream after you knocked out Ludwig.
Yeah, man. Hang on, I put my glass of water in the most awkward place. Yeah, it was weird. We were driving around the 215 south, just past where the PI is now, and it kind of it goes. We're heading west at the south end of Vegas, and then it starts to turn to go north towards where Red Rock Canyon, Red Rock Casino is. And he was using my room at the MGM because I was fighting on the car, but I wasn't staying in the hotel. I was staying at home. So I'd gone to pick him up on the Sunday after the fight, and we were driving back. And what was funny is that he came over a little earlier, and we'd been watching Ancient Aliens. And Wad's the kind of person that sits there and just trashes everything that they're saying because it's all nonsense. I watch it for a bit of fun. There's some interesting stuff in there. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun. The guys are on there, you know, most of the time they're completely over the top.
That's him.
Georgios Saloukas.
Yeah.
And it was aliens, but it was aliens. So we've been watching this stuff. Anyway, we're driving along the 215. And that's me driving, in case you didn't know.
Nice. I couldn't tell you're on the wrong side of the road, but change gear.
No, you couldn't tell. No.
Change gear, I could tell.
So anyway, we're in my truck. Remember that black wicker truck I had, that Nissan? We're scooting around the 215, and all of a sudden, this shadow came over the car and like stayed in the lane, but was high up above, obviously, whatever it was. I couldn't see anything. There was no noise, no nothing. But it was high up enough off the road for the shadow to be in the lane and be quite sharp. But there was nothing. It was really weird.
Well, you could feel the presence.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, I took a couple of shots the evening before from Ludwig, and I thought to myself, probably knocked a screw loose or something. So I'm driving, seeing this shadow disappear around the 215 and start heading north, thinking to myself, have I just seen that? And I can't say anything because I'm with the skeptic Wad who's next to me.
Yeah.
And suddenly he leans forward out of the windscreen. And he's looking. He's trying to find something in the sky. I'm like, you saw that as well, right? But we both saw it. It was very, very strange. Very strange. But with all those Air Force bases, and I know what Mystery's thinking right now, Area 51's right nearby.
That's it.
We drove to it that day. So, yeah.
Man, there's got to be some secret shit that's just out there. Do you know what I mean?
And if you were taking stealthy stuff, drunk people in Vegas is the perfect place to do it, right? They were probably chasing each other around the 215.
Yeah, you would, though. Could you imagine that? When I was at nursery with one of my mates, we had fire bikes. So if we grew up together, which we have, and we could now work in a top secret base and race like disguised fire drones around fucking Vegas, of course we would. That's just like everyone's dream. Could you imagine? Like, imagine being let behind the curtain just a little bit, just so you're like, holy shit, that kind of fucking exciting. Like, yeah. Stacey's cousin's brother-in-law used to work at Sony. So he was one of these that would walk in and he'd sort of give it some, like, this is back in the day, and he'd go, oh, you got PlayStation 2, have you? All right. Yeah, I've just seen him working on PlayStation 7 as it goes. And you're like, oh, have you? Yeah, is it coming out? Yeah, he's like, no, they're just sitting on it. So everything's advanced, isn't it? Everything's fucking way past. But, yeah.
Sure. Do you remember a movie called Roswell?
I can remember the DVD case.
Let me look up the...
Yeah, I remember the DVD case because one of my friends back in the day worked at Another World. It's called Forbidden Planet, I think now, or it was before it went bust. But there was, in Derby, it was Another World, and it did all like games, DVDs, BB guns, nunchucks, that sort of stuff. But I do remember Roswell.
Okay, film. I'm pulling up the page for it now. Yeah, so because it had a bunch of famous people in it. Martin Sheen's in it.
Sheen's in it,
for example. Yeah, but it came out in 1994, and it was about Roswell. It was about the what's it called, the UFO that crashed.
Yeah.
Could I find that DVD when I lived in the US? It became a thing. Like, it became a thing for me because I was talking to somebody once, typically at 10th Planet, to headquarters. And I'm having this conversation about this movie. I tried to pull it up on my phone, and it just didn't exist. So I'm like searching it. Then I'm like going to like google.co.uk to see if I can like search it from the UK. I literally couldn't find it anywhere. So then it became a thing where I'm like, every time I'm in a DVD store, like Zia in Vegas had a wicked collection of used DVDs. Every time I went in there, I checked. Every time I went in one of the Zia branches, I always checked to see if it was there. Never heard of it. It was really weird.
When you asked for it, though, at the counter, did someone just speak into their collar?
Dude.
Who's asking for it?
I'll tell you another story. I don't know why I'm in a storytelling mood. This is another story. So there are two major book chains in the US when I was living there. It was Borders and Barnes & Noble. And I think it was Borders that went out of business and closed down. Was it Borders? I don't know. Yeah, Borders. I'm sure it was. Anyway, Borders, there was a branch of Borders next to the Whole Foods I used to go to. So I used to call in there sometimes, pick up a couple of books, whatever. When they were going out of business, they were selling everything, like for like 70% off. So I thought to myself, I'll run in there and just grab, you know, like if you got a free run of a place and you just thought, oh, I'll grab all the classic DVDs or movies or books or whatever. So I just went in there and grabbed a whole bunch of books that I knew I'd want at some point, and I just stacked them up and took them to the checkout. And as they were going through, scanning them, and I had some good ones in there. I had War and Peace. And I had Che Guevara's Guerrilla Warfare Tactics or something. Anyway, as this checkup guy is scanning them through and putting them in the bag, he comes to one and scans it through, and the computer makes a really weird noise. And he looks at the screen and he reads it, looks at me, presses a button, and then carries on with the bagging. And ever since then, I've got hassle at airports. Now, that might be me being paranoid, but the book was The Communist Manifesto. And I think that I got added to a list because I was buying it, because I was stupid enough to use my credit card because I didn't have enough cash.
Yeah, because you put your name to it. Because you got stopped on the way out to Vegas when we went out.
Always. So
you even said, I know you've mentioned it to me before, but it's one of them where I know that I'll say to people, I always get stopped at the metal detectors, but that's only because I've got that many lucky coins in my Johnny pocket. I've got a fucking wedding ring I can't take off. I've got my belt, everything. So I normally get stopped. But when you got stopped, it was for a good, like, 25 minutes. Yeah, you lads go and get a coffee and have a piss because I'm going to be here for time. And it was. Yeah.
Always, mate, always. It gets so consistent that, it like, I make a joke when they go, oh, you've been randomly selected. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, and I know as well, because when I get to the airport, I'll have the ticket on my phone, or I'll print off a ticket or whatever. They always replace it with one that's got a bunch of S's at the top of it. That's like I don't know what...
Super secret service.
Secret special search. Something, something.
Oh, someone's just got a mad lift. Like, super, super search. You know what I mean? Like someone's dog for on the keyboard.
Always. It's ridiculous. I tell you what as well, I've never flown, because I've flown into Texas from South America a few times in connecting flights. I've never made a connecting flight in an airport in Texas. I always get delayed and detained and searched.
Oh, shit.
They, like, take my shoes off and, like, swab the inside of the shoes. They have me open all my electricals and turn them all on. All right. It's ridiculous. Like, proper. Yeah.
The only time I got locked down like that was when we landed in Cuba. So this was 2005. We landed and we had a suitcase each. And I was obviously telling last week about giving like pencils and pens. So we only had normal stuff for just me and Stace. But in my hand luggage, I had a PSP. I had a Zoo magazine, a Nuts magazine, which are now completely out of circulation, but they were like a poor man's FHM. Basically, a few more boobs, and it was about £1 a copy. So I had a Zoo and a Nuts and a few other bits. And you get into the airport in Cuba, and it's like an oversized shed. I don't know what it's like now, but it was then. And we went in, and it's just army, straight army, all the way down. And, like, they wouldn't smile, wouldn't do anything, and they get you through. And basically, even though, like, you've gone through the passport bit, you get to a trough where you have to tip your bag at the top, and it just chucks all your stuff in the bottom. Doesn't matter what's in there. It was just like a trough. And they confiscated Zoo and Nuts. lads, there's a PSP there. You can have a PSP. You can have some cool shit. They're like, nah, I'll take these. I'll take the titty mags, please.
Yeah, sure. They looked at you and they thought, that's a bag we need to search. There's definitely someone interested in that bag.
Have you got any knocks on you, son? That's it, yes. You can imagine their bedroom now, just plastered with Lucy Pinder and some fucking random birds from the early 2000s.
Yeah. But you see, the thing is as well now, I mean, I pretty much always travel in black because I always spill something on myself and it's the easiest colour to keep clean.
Yeah.
And I also have that serial killer hitman bag that we sell on the site.
Yeah, yeah.
That, what is it? It's the vegan leather one, isn't it?
Yeah, the hold all.
With the medallion symbol on. And I always get weird looks with that bag. People always look at me like it's there's definitely a weapon in that bag.
You look like Leon. You just need like an 11-year-old girl.
See the plant pot in the bag.
A plant pot bag and the hat that Slim's wearing now, the new trawler beanie.
Yeah.
Just walk along with that. Now, see, normally I've got Stace with me and she looks hella normal, so I'm all right. But we've got stopped for certain random shit, weird shit before. But like I've got BB guns through without a problem. So like buying in Spain, obviously you know it's knives, fucking knuckle dusters, BB guns, and because I've got a big family I've got three brothers and a sister. So whenever we used to go away, because me and Stace we're not the oldest of all of them. Like my sister's older, but there's quite a bit of distance between me and my brothers. So if me and Stace were say 20, they were like between 8 and 11. So they're not coming on holiday with us. So when we're there, we'd look for presents to take them. You know what it's like, just being nice. And it was always something cool. Like, let's take them this fucking nightstick. Let's take them this Tomfer baton. So instead, we'd end up like taking them a BB gun. But it was always trying to work out how we distract the X-ray guy when our bags are going through. So just to make sure, like, we've got three or four BB guns in there, and we're trying to make small talk with this guy so he'll look up for long enough. And it's like, oh, look at her tits.
Do you know what I mean?
Trying to get the fucking bag through. But yeah, so we never got stopped. We never got stopped for anything bad. We never got detained. Australia was strict. They were fucking mental. And if you didn't do it, they went absolutely apeshit as well. So it was like we'd go down and there was a bin every 5 feet. You'd be on the plane and they'd give you a card to say, please let us know if you're bringing anything into the country. Even as small as like a fucking travel suite, like a Werther's original. Let us know. Let us know. Let us know. So we were like, fucking hell. So by the time we'd got there, we'd been traveling. So we were just chucking everything, got rid of everything just to be safe, because obviously we want to go on our fucking holiday. And there's a bin every 5 feet and it's full. Like, if that was going to homeless, it'd be fucking perfect. But obviously it's just getting destroyed. So we're going down and then there's people down there with like a chicken's foot holding like a monkey's fist wrapped in like cow udder. And you'd go, so didn't want to tell us about this. It's like, oh no, I thought my opal fruits would be all right. So like, I thought that'd be all right. And fucking idiots. But just holding it up. And they had this massive vat. Like, I've seen it on TV where they're just chucking everything into, like, this whirlpool. And they're just getting rid of all these bugs. It's fucking crazy.
They're real tight with their... I remember I've been into Australia a couple of times myself. And I always remember it being real tight. And it was the same for New Zealand going in this time around as well. Because obviously, you know, a lot of people travelling in from Asia to New Zealand. And the coronavirus was just kind of becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Like a worldwide thing, at least. So, security was real tight. I mean, the thing is with those, I've actually been reading a book about it. Well, I've started it. I need to get a bit more through it. It's called Guns, Germs and Steel. And it's like a short history of humanity and how certain populations rose and fell. And it's amazing how much germs play a factor in all different kinds of stuff and how, like, moving... Like animals from one continent to another can completely decimate a whole species. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's like the cane toad, isn't it? Was it the cane toad in Australia where they took it over to sort of take care of something? So they let the cane toad in because it was, I can't remember, something was killing crops. And then the cane toad just run riot. It was like a frat house that were like, yeah, we'll behave. Yeah, we'll be good. Yeah, we'll be all right. And then got in there, they're like, oi, oi, fuck it. And they just got pissed up and... and destroyed everything.
Was talking about those deer on what is it, one of the Hawaiian islands?
Okay,
type of deer that were introduced, and it's just kind of like out of control because there are no natural predators for it.
Imagine that though, just walking around Billy Big Bollocks, where natural predators are on an island over there. You got to get a plane to it. So bring it on.
Have you seen that video of the introduced werewolf to Yellowstone?
No.
Introduced wolves to Yellowstone.
I was going to say, I was thinking, I think that might not be real, dude.
It was definitely real, dude. It was definitely real. They reintroduced wolves to Yellowstone and how it changed the landscape. Because then there were natural predators for all of the herd animals. And they weren't coming down to the water as often and as freely because they were concerned about getting munched on. Yeah. So it started to change the way that the rivers were flowing and how the riverbank flourished with plants and stuff. Interesting. It must be somewhere online. It's like 6 minutes long, but it explains like the reintroduction and then the result of like all these birds coming back, and it was really weird.
It's almost like when you look now, I've seen pictures of smog in like New York. So when before the virus and then now, I know the virus is still going on, but there's like hardly any air travel and stuff like that. And just seeing how different things are filtering back because there's not as many people in the way. Do you know what I mean?
And it's like canals in Venice, isn't it? I've seen
that. Yeah, you're fucking they're just coming back in because it's not as busy. Because why would if you were a fish or a dolphin or whatever, and you normally are going to be swimming around there, you're not going to be swimming around where the boats are you? Because I'm going to fucking eat you.
Dolphins.
Say again.
Are they deep enough for dolphins?
I thought so.
You reckon? Because they use their massive pole, don't they?
There's got to be some cocky dolphins just to have a go. Do you know what I mean? They'll be like, do you reckon you can swim in that, Dave? Yeah, I reckon I can do it. Prove it. There's always someone. It's peer pressure. There's got to be peer pressure in the dolphin world as much as there is in the fucking human.
We had some weird interactions with dolphins when I was on the boat race. Really kind of got the impression that they were like they're operating on a much more human consciousness than anything. They would like do stuff to get your attention. Like they would swim under the boat and then jump and land on their side, and it was weird. You could feel them kind of swimming along, watching you, having an understanding of kind of who you are and what you're doing. It was very strange. But there was a time when we were sailing towards two storms that were coming together. And I was right in the front of the boat, and I could see all these dolphins swimming across. They were swimming from left to right, and there were loads, like I don't know, hundreds. And all of a sudden, there were like sort of five or six around the boat, and they were all like trying to get our attention, like creating big splashes and jumping and stuff, like to try and get us to go in a different direction because we were heading towards the storm.
That fucking But that's like a kid trying to get your attention on a bouncy castle or something. Like, you see me do this. Like, that's cool. I mean, we swam with dolphins in Cuba, which at the time was something we were recommended to do. Whereas looking back now is probably something I wouldn't encourage or do again. But obviously, we're talking 15 years ago. So it was your outlook's a bit different. But then now when you see all these different documentaries and different things, you're like, I don't think they like that. No. But even then, being in the water with them, there was something about it. There's definitely something about it. I mean, I've seen videos. Is it a beluga whale? It's either a beluga whale or a dolphin that someone drops their phone in the water and it's like 2 minutes, goes down and just brings this phone back. He's like, there you go. How fucking nuts is that? That's crazy.
Yeah,
but nice. I mean, they're just cool things. But the fact they can beat a shark, that's a proper Rocky story, that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know when sharks are being made, and it's like, we're going to give you all these rows of teeth. You're going to be tarred as fuck. You're going to be immune to cancer. All this cool shit, and it's like, but don't fuck about with them because they'll kill you.
Yeah.
It's like, what them? Like, they look like they've got a beak like a duck. Yes. Say that to them because they'll fuck you up. And it's like, I'm a shark, mate. Have a word. And like, the hammerhead's like, what did he say? Who said that? Yeah, they are cool. That's a hammerhead.
Is that what Robin St. Prue's doing after his fights?
Hammerhead? Oh, maybe.
Is he a hammerhead shark?
Does he go up to the camera and go, "All right, boys"? Oh, man, I've obviously...
How's your isolation going?
Oh, all right. I've got a result from my isolation. Do you want to see it? I'm gonna see if I can get the lid off this. You've got to see it.
Sounds interesting.
I've only got a lighter on me, so... He's done it. He's done it with a lighter.
Hold on. Oh, look at that. Orangina. Did you find that in the back of a cupboard somewhere?
No. I got it from a shop up the road, and I bought every single bottle they had.
Of course you did.
Mate, when we were kids, genuinely, this was the greatest drink ever.
Yeah,
well, honestly, Dean commented on Instagram because I put a picture of it on, and he was like, "That was my favourite drink as a kid." Well, I couldn't get it. We never got it. It was nowhere near us because obviously how poor we were. So when we were on holiday, it was the odd occasion when parents were either had enough to drink that we could have gone, maybe we can have an Orangina or Ojna, as the advert used to say. He was like, do you remember there was a woman on a swing? And she was like, "Ojna, shake it to wake it." And he's like, oh, can do.
I don't remember that. But we should sell that clip of you doing that right there to Orangina to reinvigorate their brand.
Let's do it. Let's bring it back, Ojna. I've not even got the fucking glasses on. But yeah, she was a proper flouncy bird, sat on a really ornate swing and just floating out. And she was like, "Shake it to wake it." And the thing is, my mum being my mum would have been like, "Just have some orange pop and put lemonade in." And I'm like, "Mum, it's not the same. You can't shake that to wake it." And she's like, "You can." It, trust me, this is low carb. So like, it doesn't fizz up. Whereas orange and lemonade does fizz up. Trust me.
Yeah. And that could be the name of your sex tape as well.
There's a lot of names.
Shake it to wake it.
Mate, fucking hell. I thought you meant don't fizz up. Since I've had the snip, it don't fizz up no more.
Oh, no.
That's another story. That's
the direction that we shouldn't go in.
I definitely can't get into the snip story yet. One day I'll tell you. It's scary. It's fucking, yeah.
No, I don't ever want to hear that story.
No, you don't. You know, unless we're both really, really drunk, and seeing as you don't drink, that's never going to happen. So I found that on quarantine. So that was a result. So I've got 18 bottles of Orangina. However, I've now found out that my daughter fucking loves Orangina.
Oh. And put 9 bottles of Orangina.
That's what she said. And I'm like, I don't think it works that way. I don't think it's an auto. Huh?
Or 8, because you've got one there that you've already opened.
It's not an auto 50-50, is it?
Well,
just because I made her doesn't mean that she gets to have the fucking half of my stash.
I mean, perhaps.
I'm not dead.
You paid for it. Did you ever pay for it?
No, I was the only one. I went out. I was very responsible. I was very responsible when I was getting my essential 18 bottles of Orangina.
So you went out and paid for it and brought it back?
Exactly.
They're not quite 50-50 split then. Maybe 60-40.
I reckon she gets 3.
Ooh, I reckon she could barter up to 5.
Yeah, I could live with that. I could live with 5, but not the ones that are in the fridge.
Only the warm ones.
Yeah, fridge space is at a premium right now. And
you can have 4 from the fridge, or 5 from the cupboard. Yeah,
you can have 7 warm or 3 cold. She'd take them and just keep switching them all the time. She's not fucking stupid. There's no flies on her.
Isolation's coming down to is bartering over food products in the house.
Mate, this is it. This is it. We're literally... it's that, and I had a reality check with Libby the other day because I used the wrong mayonnaise. And you know, like, where people are dying? This isn't the lyrics for a Michael Jackson song, but there's a worldwide pandemic, and my daughter's concern is that I used the wrong mayonnaise. I almost went full dickhead dad and started bringing up pictures of people dying from a virus to go, "Do you want the fucking mayonnaise now? This kid's dead." So, yeah, I didn't do that because my wife told me that would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, we're surviving, we're coping, we've got the garden. We're quite fortunate because we've got a nice big garden, but I used to love the trampoline. We've got a big trampoline at the bottom of the garden. It's massive. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. Hold on. Let me just take you over real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see? At the back of the blue? Can you see that? I don't know.
A little bit of an intro to my garden. But, yeah, so basically, they're properly into it now, and they keep wanting me to go on a trampoline. I've not got the fucking cardio for that anymore. Honestly, it's fucking exhausting.
Oh, you broke up there.
It's exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting. So, as much as we've got shit to keep them entertained, they want you to be involved with them, which is kind of selfish, but...
Oh, why would they do that?
Yeah, so that's it. Daddy, come on the trampoline.
Have you learnt anything?
I did, but we've stopped it because it's Easter holiday at the minute.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so
eggs now.
Yeah, well, we had massive Easter egg hunts. So that was, we had Easter egg hunts on Sunday, four of them, because normally we'll have one at home when they wake up, and then we'll go to my dad's and we'll do a big Easter egg hunt. But because we're not going now, we had to do a virtual one.
Yeah. Virtual Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, virtual Easter egg hunt. And obviously, back in our garden, they like to, once we've done the hunt, then one daughter will do it for the other one, which is kind of sweet. But at the same time, you just want to mooch on a Sunday, don't you? That's what it's all about. Right. Yay, well done. Shall we sit down now, chill out, do fuck all?
And you can't shoot at them with the neighbour's pellet gun just to keep it more entertaining.
Dude, I told you about Moose shooting a can out of the tree, didn't I?
Yeah.
Mate, well, it went a bit further because then I started looking at blowback gas BB pistols to be able to go down the garden to do a full CQB, like close quarters training, and right. Get them all trained up on a double tap. So I'm waiting on confirmation of a delivery to see if I can still get a pistol, which if I'm not on the podcast anymore, it's because I'm currently in hospital with BB's lodged in me somewhere.
I don't want to know where.
No, mate. Well, the thing is, they soon get into something. Like, you'll get them the rifle, and they realise, be respectful, be behind the gun, blah, blah, blah. And then before you know it, they're just like, can I load it? Can I do it? And it's like, no, just no, no, no. You get to shoot, and that's it. And, but, yeah, so they're competitive as well. So you just can't stop being competitive. And I think that's what's keeping us going, just having a little bit of something to do. So it's good.
Tell them to get trained up on the Nerf guns, because I've got two, and I'm coming tooled up next time I'm coming around to your house after lockdown.
Mate, this is like Desperado. Trust me, if I could get in that little door there, there's a double suitcase which opens out, and it's got something like 60 guns in it. And some of them got discs, some of them got balls, some of them got the darts. Honestly, if I told them that, they'd be ready now.
Two little tackle berries all geared up.
Yeah,
You've got three dogs now, and dogs like to eat those Nerf pellets.
They do.
You know.
Yeah. One of them will collect, one of them will shred, and the other one will just bite you because he thinks you're going to shoot him. he's definitely got little man syndrome. He's just chilling, little man syndrome.
Did you see that video on Ensign Inouye's Instagram of the dude getting chased off by his dogs?
Yeah. Just comes in the back gate and then just like saunters off into the house and then fucking runs, and the bubbers are like straight up to him.
Yeah.
Some fucking big dogs, man.
Right, they look like foo dogs, don't they?
Yeah.
Like little lions.
Yeah, to be fair, my dogs don't scare. They scare people when the door's shut, but then when the door's open, they look at them. I mean, to be fair, Ben has scared a few people, but it's normally like Hermes delivery drivers that shit the pants because they hear a dog. The amount of parcels I've had thrown at me just because he's a dog. So, yeah, take him inside. Take him inside. It's like, all right, he's only small. He's not going to hurt you. Yeah, freaks people out. I don't know. They're all good. They're happy. But I did see Ensign, and then I saw his explanation, and it showed like 50 different signs to say, this is dogs. Do not come in. This is fucking dangerous. And the guy just wanders straight in, doesn't he?
Yeah. He was his car guy once. It's something about his car
He knew him. He definitely knew him, but it was...
Knew him, you'd follow him on Instagram and know he's got three big dogs.
They've got their own Instagram. That's the thing. They've got their own Instagram. I'm sure it's the Bobbers. I'm sure it is.
Oh, I'll have to give him a follow. I was watching his fights yesterday because I'm putting these little shows together for the channel. And because we were talking about it just before we started recording, weren't we? The guys. Oh yeah, I'll have to give him a follow. Wicked. Yeah, like the guys that, if you think back to like the really early days of MMA, like UFC and Pride, like the guys that stood out, like the Gary Goodridges, the Oleg Taktarovs, Marco Huas. I'm working on a few at the moment. Mark Kerr's another one I'm doing. But I was watching some of Enson's fights yesterday because I want to do a little show on him and kind of pull some of the best clips of his career together and talk about him, because he was awesome. Enson was. He was crazy. I mean, like legit crazy. I remember the one thing I remember of Enson, the everlasting memory, aside from all the wicked arm bars that he got, was when he fought Igor Vovchanchin in Pride, and he got mauled for 10 minutes, the opening round. And at the end of the opening round, he couldn't stand up. And Egan and his corner man, they jumped in and grabbed him and like dragged him back to the corner and sat him up against the corner post. And when the doctor came in and waved it off, he was screaming because he wanted to continue. And what was crazy is that when we were in Vegas, I met him, and he's just like the nicest, most peaceful guy. He's always doing good stuff in his community, and like he does a lot of charity work, doesn't he? He takes a lot of supplies and stuff to that. Was it the area that was where the power plant is?
Yes. Yeah. But he was also, didn't he? He restrained someone. He saw someone videoing. Did someone have a secret camera trying to film upskirt?
Yeah.
Upskirt, and he just stopped him. And the thing is, he's a fucking unit. He's like, imagine, he looks like a bear. He's massive. So imagine that if you're doing something and you think you're getting away with it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been pinched, but I was pinched for shoplifting from Woolworths, and if something happens to you from that ultra confidence and that massive high that you're on when you're walking out of a shop thinking I'm the fucking man, to someone just grabbing you and going, come on me, mate. And to be fair, the guy that grabbed me, I was 11 or 12, so I probably could have ran and got away. If me and my mate would have turned around and synchronized, smacked him in the balls, we'd have got away. But we didn't think like that because we were too good and we felt bad for what we'd done. Whereas imagine turning around and someone grabbing that ensign, just pinning you against the wall and be like, don't move. You'd shoot yourself.
Yeah.
A grown man would shoot yourself.
Yeah, and he did as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. He's a good dude. But I'm gonna record some of these shows. My Zoom recorder broke, so I've been a bit lazy.
Is it still not? So it's not snapped out of?
Still being weird. But a new one was delivered today by a terrified Amazon driver that dropped the boxes off and ran away before I opened the door.
Oh, really?
They probably make me a bit paranoid, though, if I was delivering stuff to people's houses.
Yeah, I think the problem is we're relying now on the little guy, aren't we? The little guy is propping up the country, and it's like one of them where it doesn't matter. You could be as rich as fuck, but you're still in the same position as everyone else. You could have everything in the world and still locked down and got fuck all. Whereas it's the little guy then that sort of, they're putting themselves out there. I mean, it's got to be a little bit unsettling, because I was talking to Ollie today. He rang me from the office, and he was basically telling me he went out and like people are jostling past him. Like because basically they're an IT company and they do a lot of care homes and things like that. So you've seen in the news recently about like the domestic violence cases have been rising, and they're trying to work out ways to look after people. And they're a key part of that, so that they've got contact for these homes and things. So they've been going out. They've been really careful. They're masked up. They're gloved up and everything else. But he said the amount of people that just aren't even fucking considering it, not even giving it the time of day. And it's just, obviously, when they're seeing it constantly, they're seeing good bits and bad bits. They're seeing some places where they're affected, and they're seeing other bits where it's not affected, and people are still having garden parties and house parties, and it's fucking bonkers. So the problem is it puts all these people at risk, especially the little guy, like you're saying, like the Amazon delivery driver that is having to make his 50 drops a day or whatever. If you've just got one inconsiderate person or whatever that doesn't give a fuck, and spits in your mouth or coughs on you.
Yeah.
It's got to be a bit.
It's going to be weird though, like even when like, you know, like when the isolation is lifted and people start kind of getting back to normal, because everyone's going to be a bit more cautious of each other. You know, like we went out for a walk the other day and just like normally when people would walk past you and either say hello or just not pay attention.
Yeah.
Like they kind of visibly like create space from you. Ew. It's really weird. There's going to be this paranoia that's going to kind of flow over afterwards. And yeah. I think that's going to last for a while.
It's weird. I mean, I was walking and it almost makes you feel paranoid because I walk the dogs every day. I've got to, because otherwise they'd lose their fucking mind. And I see the same people that I see before the virus, and I see the same people now, but there's a lot more using our woods. I say our woods, the dog walking woods. Yeah. And I was walking on this guy.
My woods.
Fucking woods. And this guy walking up to me went, walked past and pulled it down. And I was like, bro, you can hold your breath for that fucking long. Like, what are you doing? And the thing is, I'll still nod or be polite. I'm still polite because I've got three dogs as well, and they're all off their leads. So the amount of times you have to go, they're all right. It's not. Yeah, he's good. He's not going to hurt you. And because these want to go and investigate, and dogs are all right. So they just go and have a word and come back. But people are super, super like standoffish, even just to say hello or say morning. And I think it sort of rang true to me when I was watching a rerun of an event. And I was watching someone coming out of the tunnel, and literally they came out of the tunnel like this, and there was thousands of people all in the arena. I was like, look at those people next to each other.
Close to her.
Look at them. It's making me itch. Look at them. Look at them. What if he breathes on him? And I mean, you think of the amount of times. I've been on this planet 38 years, nearly 39 years, and it's never been a thing. But now I've been in lockdown for 4 weeks that I see people stood next to each other. I start getting freaked out.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's going to take a long time.
Are the Raptors, can they turn their cameras on? Have you got clothes on both of you? I saw some comments in the section below the podcast about the people missing the Raptors. Oh, here he is. There they are.
Bonjour.
And obviously Jamie's got his cool T-shirt on, so we've got to get. Yeah.
There you go.
How are you boys? Put all that stolen stuff behind mystery. Everything in that shot is stolen. That's my coffee table, you fucker. It is.
Is that the UFC hat that you stole from
my pajama towels, to be fair?
I was playing a game someone sent me.
Oh, not paying attention at all, I see. What? I'm going to start taking screenshots of your searches, Mystery.
It's called Knit Battle. You got to find the knits.
And what do you win?
Integrity.
Every time you tap the screen, you lose integrity.
You have to sign that away. The minute you signed up to the game, your integrity is gone. You can just Google the word boobs and forget the game. There's loads.
How's your isolation going, Jamie? I'd ask Misty how his isolation's going, but when he started the call today, he was in his car, so it's not going very well at all from Misty's perspective. How are you doing, Jamie?
Oh, good, man. Doing a lot of exercising, keeping busy, but... Yeah, just stuck inside. It's a bit annoying, really. Can't do much apart from go for a walk and been working on it. Sorry?
Only once a day.
Yeah, once a day. Been going for a run once a day, that's it. But, yeah, I've been editing bits and bobs, but, yeah, trying to keep busy, really.
That'd be a good time to organise a fight between you two, really. We could, like, set the date for November.
I'm getting in good shape as well, so.
There you go.
Just come out of completely Johnny Bravo. Just like come out of isolation. They're just these two hench motherfuckers. Like, fucking hell. What are you doing? Sponsored by Huel.
Is your mic muted?
Yeah, I think so.
Of course it is.
You've been muted this whole time.
This whole time.
What's the, how did you know I was on about battle nips?
No, you were unmuted then, and then you went muted again.
Oh.
So you know Slim's going out for one run a day. If he needs to nip to the shops, like let's say he has his run from 11 to 12. If you need to nip to the shops at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, do you have to go covert, like fully milk tray man?
I don't think so. So if you need to go shops, that's essential.
But you just probably run. You can only have one run.
Unless you get caught, and then you get caught again. But they're both allowed, so I guess you're right, right?
Yeah, you're too careful anyway, Slim. You're like a goat. I just feel good for all the dogs. All the dogs that are getting extra walks. Fucking brilliant. The amount of dogs I've seen going around the park, like, looking around like they've never seen it before. They're like, oh, my God, look at this. You said there were no parks, Dad. And the dad's like wheezing because he can't fucking... He feels like he has to walk because he's been told to by Boris.
I've been doing a lot of exercise every morning.
Wanking?
Nah, but... No.
Fortunately, you can play battle nips with one hand.
I was proper taking it seriously. I'm not gonna lie. I've drawn three different sizes, so I've got three different guesses.
Mate, the thing is, they're definitely gonna be fake. So the nipples aren't gonna be where you think they're gonna be. Ever.
No.
That's part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Are there numbers on the side of her head? I'd just start clicking around the side of her head if I were you.
No, it's not interactive like that. You just have to give your guesses. I'll show you. I don't know if you can see that. Can you see the numbers?
Yeah.
Right.
So what's going on then?
We should screenshot this and put it at the end of the podcast so people can choose their numbers. Comments.
Sorry, I got distracted.
Looks like it's fully got your attention. It looks like it consumed you a little bit. I think it's 17. I genuinely think it's 17. Have you seen talking of nips? Have you seen Ronda Rousey recently?
Yeah.
Going on.
This is time for me to nip out for a moment. You continue, boy.
she's gone from being a fighter in the UFC to then doing wrestling, and then she's basically just gone off on the whole roster saying about it being fake fights, and like she said she's tired, she doesn't know she's coming back because the fans don't appreciate her.
What, in wrestling?
In wrestling as well, yeah. So I don't know if it's just like
she should just stay on the farm, man.
She looks like a wicked farm with Travis. It looks good.
I know. But yeah.
I don't know if she's just not got the best like customer facing attitude. I mean, I'd be fucked. So I can imagine it's not easy for everyone.
No.
So, but she went off saying like, if you fought 300 times a year, you'd be dead. It's not real fights. They're athletes, but it's not a real fight. Which the problem is, even if it's choreographed, it's still fucking hard, man. That's still tricky.
Yeah, it's physically challenging, yeah, massively.
Real. Did you ever see Not Beyond the Mat? Louis Theroux. Louis Theroux did he went to the West
Weird Weekends.
Yes. Louis Theroux and Al Snow. Fuck. And he giggled. At one point, he said something and Louis Theroux giggled. And Al Snow was like, what are you laughing at? And he's like, yeah, but it's just fake, isn't it? And he was like, what? And he's like, it's just fake. And they beat the shit out of him, like, for all day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Have you seen The Wrestler? You know, with...
amazing.
What's his name? The actor.
Mickey Rourke?
Mickey Rourke, yeah.
Hey, nice. Sick.
Louis the Roo patch on my jump.
Well, I had a similar experience with, I don't think either of you boys will remember them, but there was a tag team back in the day called the Rockers. and Shawn Michaels was a part of the tag team, the Rockers, and his partner was Marty Jannetty. And I watched that when that was, so WrestleMania 8, I would have been about 7, 8. So then when I was about 17, the wrestling like roadshow, just a bullshit fucking shitty wrestling organization came to Derby, and I went to watch it, and I didn't buy the program because obviously it's all shit. It was just a real low budget thing. And the last match, the Rockers came on, which was my favorite, and Marty Jannetty come run into the fucking ring. So in the same trousers that he was kicked through the barbershop's window in like 1990. So I lost my mind, got in the ring, had a picture taken with him, and was fucking, I've still got it, it's on the Instagram. But I was absolutely buzzing about meeting Marty Jannetty. And then I watched the film, The Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke. And it was more like a documentary about people like Jake the Snake Roberts, Razor Ramon. Have you seen Razor Ramon? He got massively into fucking drugs. And there's videos of him pissed up, trying to be at an event. Same as Jake. And they both went to Diamond Dallas Page. And now they did his, they stopped with him because the Jake the Snake documentary is well worth a watch. Basically, he went to Diamond Dallas Page and lived with him and did his yoga thing. And now he's completely clean, got inducted into the Hall of Fame. But so that going back to the wrestler, when you were saying about the wrestler with Mickey Rourke, that was more like a documentary for me of me meeting Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like a proper, like, accurate, you know, like representation of their life or whatever. But
it's just scary how the whole interview sort of eats them up and then just spits them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because as much as that MMA, there's a lot of MMA legends, there's a lot of MMA godfathers, founders, people that have, that they got involved early days before there was a lot of money, before there was a lot of other options. And so you've got certain people that sort of made their cash and invested it well and did the right sort of decisions. And then you've got other people that you would expect to be absolutely set for life. And you look at them now and they seem to just struggling, making not the best decisions. I know, without naming any names, a lot of fighters getting in trouble with the police or sleeping in their cars or living in a trailer. And really, these guys are the guys that literally propped up UFC from the early days. So it's like even if someone was to watch a fight on Fight Pass, like if you were to watch UFC 1, Ken Shamrock gets his little piece, Hoyce gets his little piece. Do you know what I mean? Like there's all these guys. I know it's impossible really to work it backwards to see who's watching what, but it's like a royalty of a song. So like if you're playing someone's song, then you've got to pay them royalties. And obviously you've got to look at these guys that made the UFC essentially what it is today. And now they're living in a car. It's fucking heartbreaking, really.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I don't know how we got there, but you know what I mean.
The wrestling, going back to the wrestling, that kind of...
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, yeah, the wrestling.
The entertainment. So you get that kind of rock star mentality, you know what I mean? More often, I reckon.
Yeah, and the problem is they're doing it a lot more often. So because, I mean, the good times are there a lot more often, and it's the same sort of thing. Because if us four were wrestlers and we were on the same circuit together, then we'd probably meet up afterwards because no one else is about, because you're not with your family or with your normal friends. Like, you just hang out together. And then someone brings a load of green or someone brings a load of fucking coke or whatever. Yeah. And because you're bored or because you're in that little funnel, you just pretty much consume what everyone else is doing. So you're basically taking years off your life, and whatever money you're earning, you're spending on daft shit. It's hard to not do it, I suppose. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying everyone does it. I'm not saying all wrestlers do it, but it's hard to not go down that path if that's what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I remember some fighters that they were getting paid a certain amount to fight, and they'd already figured out what they were going to spend almost their entire purse on.
What? Like what?
Well, I mean, anything from, you know, a fighter getting paid £1,000 and spending £950 on a watch to, you know, to someone getting paid £30,000 and wanting an anti-gravity chair in their house. You know what I mean? Like, I've gone through every range. I had one friend that decided after this next fight he was going to get really big into road cycling. So we spent like $8,000 on like this fucking carbon fiber fucking cycle the bike for yourself. It was like all singing, all dancing, top of the range. The kind of thing that would make like professional cyclists like jealous of what you're riding on. We did it for like 2 weeks and then ended up selling the whole lot. You know what I mean? It is weird. It's like, and I think it's something that I noticed with a lot of fighters. I never got into it because all I do is spend money on Lego, so it's a bit more manageable. But like you see fighters, they kind of build up to this point where they get a big chunk of cash, and then it's like they're on this wave and they ride this wave until there's no cash, and then they try and catch the next wave to the next load of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Like instead of getting that regular monthly wage where you know your amount coming in and you kind of manage it, you know, as and when what you need. These big chunks of cash coming in, they kind of give people this illusion that they've got a lot more money than they have. It's like when you look at these websites that are like, you know, net worth of celebrities.
Mate.
It's ridiculous. Like, I can't imagine there's a single person on there that, Mystery's left. That makes me feel very suspicious of him.
Maybe his laptop died.
Oh, that would be simple.
Maybe he's Googling how much his net worth is.
Yeah, for sure.
$4 million.
In big
well.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's always
it gets you in bad habits, I think, getting paid like the fighters do sometimes. Not for everybody, of course, but for some fighters for sure.
Do you think it would be better if fighters were, say you've got a contract with UFC that it was like a monthly salary then? Do you think that could work or not?
I don't know, to be honest. I think it'd be interesting if there was an option to do something like that. I think some people are always going to want the freedom to grab their cash and leave. And I think that, you know, I think as a fighter, I mean, it's prize fighting, and I think maintaining the ability to fight for a handful of cash is you know, it's something that's quite traditional to the sport. But the idea of somehow protecting some money, to be honest, that's what a good manager should do. And I could probably count the amount of good managers on one hand in the sport of MMA, unfortunately. But a good manager should be looking at the long-term plans of a fighter and what they can be doing afterwards, putting things in place for them, you know, for the benefit of everybody. Of course, they're going to continue making money out of it. But to like look after a fighter's finances is part of what management is. And I don't think there are many people in the sport that get good financial advice from their management teams. That's why, you know, people buy stupid shit.
Sorry, dude. Do you reckon a lot of that's changed since, like, concert? What happened, dude?
it just shut down.
Of course it did.
It did.
How many poor windows you got open?
I can screen share, no.
No, that's on your phone. do you think that a lot of the management responsibility went when the banners went? When all the sponsors, like, because you look at someone now like Cowboy, he's still sponsored by Budweiser. So he maintains that sponsorship himself. But was there a lot more opportunity before to get extra money and sponsorships from people? Because if you were, let's say you were Zions, let's use Zions for example. Not only were you using them on your banner and on your walkout, but you had your own drink, didn't you? You had a drinks can, and like, the thing is, because you're always associated, it was justified. Like, yeah, well, he's still our athlete. He's still fighting. Whereas if Zients is no longer allowed in the UFC, and every time you're on an embedded or a documentary or a build-up, then that's blurred out. Does that sort of take away from the sales, do you think? And do you think then they stop looking at wanting to, like, people stop offering, or what they were offering was less?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Sure. I mean, there were a couple of things that shifted it. One was when, you know, when there was like a fee that sponsors had to pay to the UFC. And then there were a lot of brands that kind of fell off. I mean, the thing with that is that kind of sorted the legit brands from the Wild West ones. Because there were a lot of brands back in the day when anybody could sponsor you, and people were doing deals fight week of what was going to go on their shorts.
Yeah.
The amount of times, and this is no joke, the amount of times I've stitched a patch on my own shorts like a couple of days before the event because, oh, this sponsor came through. So then someone, you know, either you or Wad or whatever would get a logo printed off on a bit of fabric and send it to me, and I'd stitch up my shorts. Like, that happened a bunch of times. And same with banners and stuff as well. Like, there was always the opportunity to stick your mate's plastering company on the banner and he'll give you 500 quid next time he sees you. There was a lot of that kind of stuff going on. It was a lot more Wild West. There was a lot more, you know, there was easy cash to be made. A lot of fighters were doubling their purses, at least by what they were making on the banner. Like, I remember making good money on my banner a few times. But then, obviously, that, you know, there were a lot of things that changed it. In the long run, positives and negatives, to be honest. I like the individuality of the fighters. I like to, like, that T-shirt you're wearing. It's got what Rev Gear, Sprawl, and Zions on it. They're my sponsors for that fight. And I wore Rev Gear gloves and Sprawl shorts. And I didn't drink Zions energy drinks, but I used their protein supplements and stuff. So it was kind of like that. That was kind of part of my team.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It was like people that sponsored you were investing in you. And I mean, the thing is, fighters can be creative. There's still ways of utilizing the notoriety they've got. You know, people make a lot of money on 100,000 followers on Instagram these days.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but again, that's where management comes in. A fighter's the one that does the actual hard work, and there should be a team around these people that help them kind of grow their assets, as it were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always just like the uniqueness. So, like, you'd see a fighter come out. Ben Henderson always had good walkout shirts. Was he dethroned? I think he was dethroned.
Yeah.
And he had, like, one that looked like a rum bottle, one that looked like a tequila bottle, I think. But he always had some cool stuff. But it was the uniqueness of the shorts. Like, were they going to wear Vale Tudo shorts? Were they going to wear board shorts? Are they going to have, like, board shorts but cut off to make them more into tie shorts? Do you know, there was a uniqueness about what everyone was wearing and how they were. They almost made it like an experience of coming down to the cage. And that, for me, was why I got into certain fighters. Because it's like Filthy Tom Lawler. Tom Lawler at the time was in a roster of fighters that was super exciting, massive finishers. That the time that he was in there was a lot of other people to be watching. No disrespect to him, he was a great fighter. But the thing that got your eyes on him was when he was doing the weigh-ins.
Yeah.
And he was coming dressed as Hulk Hogan. Do you know what I mean? And you're like, who the fuck is this guy? And it was brilliant. That's what you want to see, that unique, the personality, whereas it just feels now, I don't know, like, I've got nothing against Reebok, other than I didn't think Reebok was cool from when I was about 11, because it was like, for me, at our school, it was, you were Nike or you were Adidas. That's it. Like, no one was fighting over Reebok. And that's, again, no disrespect to them. Their shit's good. I've got a load of their shit. But it was Nike or it was Adidas. And I think a few of them type of things, when that's cemented into you as a kid, it's just carried through. It's not something that ever changes. So it sort of always, it just kicked me in the balls a bit, because, and not only that, fundamentally, I'm a designer. And when I see what they wear, I don't particularly consider it's been designed, because, and that's not a dig at the designer there. It's just what they've got to do. They've got to bring out a template which will fit someone's name that is Penn, like BJ Penn, which is this big, or you've got to fit someone's name.
Otteropoulos.
Yeah, George. Do you know what I mean? George Striopoulos, or whatever his fucking name was.
Striopoulos.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean, though? So, like, you're so restricted when it comes to actually what it's going to look like, that it's so plain.
Yeah.
And that covers them as well. For if it's fight day and someone needs to, if someone's a last minute replacement, they can still quickly print them a fucking t-shirt on a black, red and blue base that they're like, yeah, there you go, off you go, out you walk. So it's kind of weird, but I don't miss getting, I used to get logos sent through at like 3 a.m. Can you put this on? And like, bear in mind, everything's on and I have to rearrange everything, because as you go around the banner, it's like, this is priority. And then as it comes down, this gets lower and lower. And then you get given a logo that is an awkward shape that you then have to get fit into, like, priority number 2 to push all the other shit out of the way. Yeah, there's a lot more that went into it than it ever seemed. But
yeah. I appreciate the fact that I was fighting at the phase before, because I always like the process of deciding, I mean, it sounds stupid, deciding what I was wearing. You know what I mean? Like, because I always like, I mean, I always wore anklets because for some reason, I always sweat a lot, and the canvas on a lot of those old cages was the plastic. So if you had sweat running down your legs and that was starting to hit the canvas, it started to get quite slippy in there. But it's not too bad in the UFC because it's a different type of canvas. But I always used to like anklets for the simple fact of doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Get more grip when I'm moving. And then when it came to the shorts, I used to like to choose what I was wearing. When I was fighting Thai boxing, I used to wear like hot pink Thai boxing shorts, and I used to bleach my hair. You know what I mean? Like there was different things I would do, and I'd enjoy that process. And I think some of that individuality has been lost now. One thing that would be positive is if they kind of open the sponsorship back up a little bit, then bigger brands will see that, you know, where Reebok has had success, then there's other potential for a massive wasp is just flown into the room.
A massive
wasp. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'd like the freedom of choosing what I was wearing, and same thing with like the walkout shirts and stuff. I had a dethrone one, I had a tap out one, I had a bunch of different ones that you made. What else have I had? Loads, you know.
Also,
I'll put from time to time.
Yeah,
the fans as well, because you see, like you said, the personality comes through more. Like depending on what they're wearing, and like makes a bit more of a character, I guess. The fans,
sounds like someone's in the jungle.
Yeah, what is that?
Is that me? Hold on, I'll mute mine and see if it's me.
Yeah, sure.
How though?
It's gone.
Oh, it's gone now. It did sound like you were in the rainforest, though.
I thought that. I thought it was Mystery. I thought Mystery was breathing on his microphone, but I didn't want to say anything.
My hands have been up here the whole time.
Yeah, keep your hands, you can see them, Mr. Right, I'm going to wrap this because that's about time for me to eat again. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, I'm starving.
I'm starving. Well,
talking to you, boys.
Yeah, good to see you.
Lovely to see everyone.
Yeah, let's catch up later in the week again.
I'll save some Orangina. I'll bring it over.
Mm-hmm. Hope everybody out there who's listening to the podcast is doing well and staying sane in these strange times.
No.
Give us some comments and give us some questions, and we'll answer next time around. Oh, Owen's got
something. I've got something very quick because I'm probably going to do a giveaway.
Go on, then.
Basically, I've had to set up a quick Instagram for me. I was getting a few people wanting to follow my Instagram, but because I have children, it's just a bit of a sensitive subject.
You're all weirdos, basically.
Yeah, there's a lot of weirdos.
And you should make a new account.
I have.
Oh. Is that what you were getting to?
Sorry, Mr. You're the only one hasn't followed it. In fact, the reason he's brought it up on the podcast is because you haven't followed
it. Won't follow it, yeah.
Where?
He's big for that now. He's not interested in me no more.
It's so, that's Mystery is a twat.
So I set one up and I'll probably...
This can't be that. I've got that already.
Good counter.
No. Mystery is a twat.com. So yeah, so I've got a few. It's more for reptiles.
What is it called?
It's called Bonafide_FRC_Owen. I don't know if you can see that. But it just keeps
cool pictures on.
Yeah, it got you. Sweet.
Yeah, it gets some. Keeps me in contact with a load of people because there's a load of wicked people that we met like at Body Power and stuff like that, and then other people like Waddle message me and say, dude, can you accept this person's request on Instagram? He said that you won't let him follow you. Yeah, I can do, and I don't know him, so it's more I've just got that so that people can see what I'm up to, because like there's a cool picture on there of all the stamps, all the ink stamps that we use, which for people that like that sort of shit will be into it, whereas you don't want to see pictures of my kids on the trampoline and playing with air rifles.
No, you can do some cool stuff as well with that. Some making of t-shirts and stuff.
I've got some one-off stuff. I've got some bits and bobs that we could do as like giveaways. And when I'm on here and I'm asking, because the other day I asked who was Dana talking about when he said such and such is not my friend.
So I can add this as well to the description now.
Yeah, of course. Say again.
I said you can see how much planning goes into all these things, can't you? We decided things as the podcast is recording.
Matty Gunner messaged me the other day, and we were talking on Instagram, and he messaged me and he said, shit, I've got to go and make my notes for the podcast. And I was like, you make notes? And he was like, yeah, a fucking shitload of them. And I was like, oh, yeah, we don't do that.
I think people can tell.
It's not, you can't tell.
That's the beauty of it, man.
That's it. But the thing is, like, if I've ever asked a question, hit me on there. And then the amount of stuff we've given to people in the past for winning stuff, getting stuff right. But you can hit me direct, because to be fair, if anything's being sent, it's being sent by me. So at least then you can talk straight to me and I can get it out to you. But the correct answer was Stitch. He was talking about Stitch Duran. So that is the soundbite. So next time, if I'd have made my Instagram last week, someone would have won. But this week, I've done it. So it'll be a new quiz. I'll put something on there so you can answer some questions and win some free shit. So that was my all before Danny.
You make an emoji quiz, Owen.
That was good what you did.
I didn't make that. I just copy and pasted it.
No, but it was good. I didn't have time to sit and do it because
I've been doing them with like movies, capital cities. They are pretty cool. Could do like a.
There was bands earlier in your group.
Yeah, and just the oblongs like The Simpsons and stuff.
Yeah, or like red, and then a hot person, and then a chili would be Red Hot Chili Peppers. And...
Look at that! See, this is how quizzes. How do quizzes work? Right. Good right. To see you, boys. Take it easy.
Yeah, take care. Good to see you.
See you later, dude.
Look after yourselves.
Reach in a bit.
In a bit.
In a bit.
Jamie's still recording. And then there's only us.
Yeah, I'm going to stop it now.
Right, boys. Good
see
to
see you later, man, dude.